My earliest days of attending church services was when I was back in the early 50s, when I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, at the Riverside Church of Christ, which is now gone, in Nashville, Tennessee. And I remember on occasion, my mother, father, especially my mother, who was right next to me, looking down at me as I was squirming in my seat or fidgety or moving around, probably bored in church because I didn't know what was going on. And she looked down and said, "Son, just be still," or "be still." I wasn't a bad kid in church, but she was teaching me important principles that I would understand later on. She was teaching me the discipline of behaving myself and keeping still physically in church so as not to interrupt or interfere with anything going on. And she knew that years later I would understand what it was all about, which I do now, as these young people will also. But the importance of sitting still is so as not to be a distraction to others and not to be stressed out or to cause others to be stressed. And so there's a certain sense when we are still, we are composed, we are calm, we have our confidence in those around us, and we pursue our life. I want you to consider this morning something much more important than just sitting still in church. So though it's the same principle of remaining calm and composed, we move from the literal physical level of sitting still and being still to the more important metaphorical and spiritual principle of being still before God. And perhaps the best chapter in the Bible that talks about this is the 46th chapter of Psalm. Actually, the entire chapter talks about this, but I'm going to focus on verse 10. Because if you look at verse 10, the writer says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, if you go back and look at the full context of the chapter, the Israelites were worried about their surrounding neighbors and enemies. They were worried about all of the tumult and all of the chaos that was often going on threatening them. They were worried about that, as we worry about our society today. And as we worry about the forces around us, either tempt us or try us or cause stress. And God is saying to them, as I want to suggest he says to us today, to be calm and to be still. And we're not talking about just a physical still, even though it might include that, but the idea of being still in our minds, being composed and relaxed. We've talked about peace before in former presentations, the importance of the peace of God that we should have, and we talk about in Philippians 4:7. But God wants us to be in full to know assured. He wanted the Israelites to know this. He wants us to know this, that he's in full command of the universe. He created it. He holds the very power of every atom and molecule in this universe. He directs all things. There's nothing that will be done that God doesn't have control over in some way or another. And we are to comfort ourselves in the reality of just being still. And of course, the question arises, well, what did God mean and what are we talking about when we say to be still before God? Does it mean sitting still in a pew? Well, in a certain sense, when we're paying attention as we are now, that. But it's much more encompassing than that. It's the stillness of the mind and the spirit in putting our complete trust in God. And often we are distracted by powers around us, by political, economic, cultural powers that really are in God's control, but they still worry us, they still distract us. We were talking this morning about the idea of dazzling objects that kind of lead our attention away. But I want to suggest in the few moments I have this morning that there are ways that we can and should be still before God. And I want you to consider them with me. And I've put them in the form of three different ways that we should stay or we should remain. And if we aren't already there, to put ourselves in that situation, how are we to be still before God? Number one is to stay anchored. The idea of an anchor, of course, literally an anchor off a boat that keeps a boat or a ship in its position where it will not move away. Being anchored is to be solidified. And I want to suggest this is the idea of looking above. To be still before God means to put our full attention on God and what we are doing before him, but to look above. Colossians 3:2 is an excellent verse that talks about this. Verse 1 of Colossians 3 says that if we are arisen with Christ, if we are Christian disciples, That's redundant. Well, maybe not. Well, if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we should put our full confidence in him and always look above. Verse 2 says that we have to set our mind, our affection on things above. The word set the mind there in original language in Greek comes from a word that means to direct our attention and our focus on one thing, which is Jesus Christ. I was going to bring my binoculars today, but I didn't need to bring such a big prop. But if you've ever thought about the idea of using binoculars, or a gun sight, or a telescope, the one thing you know is you've got to be still. If you've ever been in a situation, like maybe you're on a ship that's going back and forth, and you're looking through binoculars, it's kind of hard sometimes to focus on a distant object, because the idea of focus requires a certain stillness and a certain concentration, which you can't do. If you don't believe me, take a pair of binoculars and go running around, literally on your feet, and trying to look at something. It's very hard. Because you think, I got to stop and focus. And that's why the telescopes and different kinds of sights are often on tripods, so you can look at it while it is still. And we have to be the same way. We have to be completely focused on the idea. Focus requires calm. And what God wants us to do is the idea of being focused on him, mentally focused, and not be distracted by the world around us. The world does distract us, that is true. But we were mentioning this morning in the devotional that we have to distinguish between faith and feelings. When we are distracted by people around us or powers around us that pull us away from God, we're letting our feelings get a hold of us. Fear is a feeling. And when you think, I'm afraid of what those people might do to me, or like in Psalm 46, Israelites, what the other nations might do to us, when we allow that to happen, we're allowing fear to take over, and fear is a feeling. We have to learn to discipline that feeling and deal with it. So things like fear and confusion and dread, those are all emotions. They're natural emotions that we have to focus on, you know, to get us in the right direction, but we can't let them overtake us. It's feelings versus faith. God says, have faith in me. Have less attention on your feelings and more attention on your faith. And that's one way of keeping our binoculars straight, so to speak. Keeping our binoculars, our spiritual binoculars, our spiritual telescope on God, we have to do that. We're still going to have those same distractions around us, but if we focus by looking above, it helps a great deal. And sometimes you're told when you're out trying to do something physically that often a person will say, keep your eyes on me, or keep your eyes on what I'm doing, like a leader or a coach. Keep your eyes on me and don't worry about what's going on around you and you'll do a lot better. So we need to stay anchored all the time. A second way of being still before God is to stay attentive. And this involves the idea of looking around. Ephesians 4:14. Now, in Ephesians 4:14, I realize that Paul's talking about false teachers and false doctrine. And he's basically saying, be established in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was presented to you. And don't be tossed to and fro like being on a ship out at sea where you're going back and forth by every slight of doctrine that comes along. Paul is saying that there are certain kinds of doctrines and teachings that will come along that will distract you. They will seek to pull you away from the gospel, but you must ignore those. Look around and be aware of them, but stay attentive. The best illustration I can think of in this regard of being attentive is, think of operating a car. You cannot drive a car, especially if you're a young person just learning, but anybody, you cannot drive a car skillfully or effectively if there's somebody in the back seat or the side seat, or all around you, shouting instructions to you. Slow down, speed up, turn here. Oh, that was a dumb thing to do. They're saying all of these things, and those things might be true, but when you're trying to focus yourself and stay attentive on your driving, which you should be doing, and you've got all these competing voices coming into your head, it's hard to focus. You can't do that very well. Sometimes when we are focused on something, we want to kind of be alone in the moment. And when you've got others trying to encroach on your space, it just doesn't work. Many of you know I like to draw. Drawing is my hobby. And I know that whenever I'm drawing something, I don't want anybody to be standing behind me looking at me. There are many artists that don't mind that, but it bothers me to know that somebody, or if I'm reading and you're standing over my shoulder, you know, go away. Because the thing is, not that I don't like you, but I want to focus on something. And sometimes when we want to focus whatever we're doing, drawing or reading, whatever it might be, we need to be alone in the moment. And so the idea of Ephesians 14 is Paul says, ignore all these competing doctrines that are false doctrines that are kind of yelling in your ears and trying to pull you away like a driver with a backseat driver, because they're only going to, you know, take your mind away. The third and final point I want to mention this morning is the idea of staying aware, which I suggest has the idea of looking forward. Philippians 3:13, Paul, remembering his past, remembering when he actually crucified Christians, when he stood at the very feet of Stephen, who was executed, he was killing Christians, which he thought was the right thing to do. He has a memory of that. And we all have memories, I certainly do, I'm ashamed to say, of things I've done in the past that really kind of weigh us down. There are sins that we have committed that we can't uncommit, we can't undo, we can't unthink, they are done. We have to let them go. And in Philippians 3:13, Paul says there that I move forward. He says in King James, I reach forward, forgetting those things of the past. Paul knew that a simple principle of life, you can't go forward if your mind is always in the past. Using the analogy of a car again, when we drive, it is important as we go forward to, of course, glance in the side mirrors and the rearview mirror to see what's going on around us. That's the idea of looking around. But you cannot focus on looking behind. Imagine driving down 99 or Fry Road and you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror, what's on behind you, and you know what's in front. That's going to lead to a tragedy. So your primary focus is on looking forward, looking what's before you, being aware of everything else. And we have to do that. I've used this illustration before, I'm going to use it again, so bear with me. But sin can be seen as a weight, because Paul talks about it almost like it's baggage that you're dragging around. Paul says you got to cut it, you know, you got to jettison whatever it is and let it go. I'm going to use my brick again, okay, so bear with me here. This is an actual brick, several pounds heavy. I got it wrapped in white paper, so keep it clean. Let this represent sin. When you have something in your life that results in a guilty conscience because of what you have done, maybe even worse, an unrepented sin, which you need to repent of, whatever it is that's bothering you, the way it was bothering Paul, the way it bothers us, we all have things that we've done that bother us. But the problem is you can't just keep dragging and dragging it. And think of this brick. I once had it rigged up, but I lost my rigging on it. Imagine, if you will, one of two situations, that you've got this brick attached around your neck, or maybe if you want, attached to your ankle where you're dragging it, and you're going around not just a couple of hours, but maybe throughout your life, you are carrying this brick. Now you might say, well, Jack, I'm strong enough, I can carry the brick. That's true, but it's extra weight that will affect you eventually. And it'll affect you in three ways. It'll affect your balance. If you're walking around with this brick, I can guarantee it'll affect your balance in one way or the other when you're moving, so you can't remain focused and steady with this around your neck. It also affects your stamina, because it's extra weight that requires extra energy from your body to keep going, so you're consuming a lot of extra energy you could use to be doing more constructive things to carry this piece of junk with you. And it also affects you in the sense of your progress. You're not going to move as quickly. This will be an impediment. You will get to where you're going, perhaps, but it'll be slower than it could have been. And the point I'm making is this weight that you're carrying with you, it affects the way you stand, the way you're balanced or not balanced, your energy, your stamina, your endurance, and your progress, all three of them. They're all three of those parts of your life are adversely affected by carrying this brick. And the only way you'll get rid of this brick as sin is to repent of it, to move on from it, and let it go. And the blessing is that God has done that. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:9, we're told as Christians, as John was telling the Christians there in Asia Minor, that if you are faithful, if you confess your sins to Jesus, he will forgive them. Ray was talking about this morning in class. God has already let those things go. God has, the victory is settled. Jesus Christ won the campaign on the cross. He destroyed the power of Satan, the power of death, the power of sin. It's still a problem for us in the world because we're in this physical world, but the power of that to affect our balance, our stamina, and our progress has been destroyed. So if we are carrying weights around like this, it's not because God wants us to carry these around or he makes us. It's because we don't let go of them. You've got to cut them loose. Again, easier said than done, I realize that. Because there are things in my life that still haunt me. In a certain sense, you never forget what you've done. You don't have spiritual amnesia. I think God gave us some memory so we can remember what we've done, so we can improve and learn from it. But the thing is, there's a certain point where you have to let that memory go, or let the weight of it go, or you'll be pulled down. And so sometimes in life, as we go through, we are the same way, just like a small child in church. You sit in a pew because you don't know what's going on. Maybe you're not focused, and you're rowdy and restless and fidgety. That's understandable as a child. But then we grow as adults, as we are here today. The reason the adults right now, you might be bored with what I'm saying. That's in the mind. I can't control that. But the reason the adults in this building are sitting still right now and paying attention, one is because they want to be here, and they are paying attention to hopefully the Word of God, but also because they are adults. And they've grown past the age, they've grown to the point now they can discipline themselves and control themselves. We know why we're here, to worship and to praise God and to be still before him. We know that, and we can do that. And we have to be the same way throughout our lives, because God has assured us in Psalm 46 in that chapter that he's in control of all things. And also, if you go over to Psalm 56 and 4, it essentially says, and I'm paraphrasing, don't be afraid what flesh can do to you, which is the King James, which means God says, I'm in charge, I have control, nothing can hurt you, okay? Even death is as drastic and radical and final as that is not an enemy, because God has destroyed death, which is why he says in Psalm 116:15, that precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. He welcomes to see them. And so my closing thought this morning, as we talk about the importance of being still before God by being anchored, by being attentive, and being aware, by looking above, looking around, and looking forward as we live our lives, consider this. As a child is set still, is taught to sit still in church and learn that, we should learn on a much higher, more important level, that we are still to be before God. Because by being still before God, we can then hear him, we can believe him and focus on that, and we can serve him, which is why we're here today. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, or if you have at one time and you seek the prayers of the church for obedience, to return to the Lord in your fidelity and faith, we would encourage you to respond this morning as we all stand and sing.